For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Olin Krutz, Score football analyst.
Bias towards offensive line. By that I mean find you an excuse of why an offensive lineman missed the block or why their job is hard.
Chicago Bears legend, six-time Pro Bowl center.
You talk about one of the greatest leaders I've ever been around. From football to the weight room to life, now he's in radio and he has the same passion.
Olin Krutz, every week with Mully and Haw. He probably doesn't like you, but he loves to talk Bears with Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Coal in the stocking yet again. My God, our Christmas is ruined. But we delighted to welcome in Olin Krutz, who joins us on the Aturo Hotline, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Olin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing good. I had a good laugh on the way home. I thought about Simon and Garfunkel when I played Sound of Silence, Hello Darkness, My Old Friend, after that game and that post-game show. And it seems like with the Chicago Bears lately, this has been their story, right? There's games like this. You're always wondering, is it the right coach? Is it the right OC for this young quarterback? And, you know, that after that Hail Mary, you worried about there being a hangover in Arizona. And, you know, just going over the film a little bit this morning, guys, there sure was. There sure was, you know, there were drop balls. They're the same thing on offense, right? The penalties, the plays were there to be made. There were drop balls. They didn't catch the ball. I think they thought they had a big advantage at wide receiver. And if they spread them out, and took advantage of their secondary, but they just never really did it. They just never really got it going, whether it's a quarterback, the offensive line. The good thing about this film that I just watched, they can all point their thumb at themselves because no one really made a play. No one really played really good football. You can't point to anybody and say, man, well, at least they did this well. Nobody did that yesterday along with the coaching staff. So now they're all in the boat together, and they all got a role.
It's so familiar. It's so on brand. It's so Bears. And that's the frustrating part of it, as you say, Olin. And in this week, after two straight losses, with a winnable game against the Patriots, I think it's still a winnable game, everyone will be clamoring for change outside of Hallis Hall. How will they respond to this crisis inside Hallis Hall? Do you expect any changes in terms of personnel, which are limited because of injuries, or coaching responsibilities because of what you created for yourself?
Yeah, it's a good question after what we watched. And I think that you try to take a step back and look at, you know, after that Hail Mary, everything, you know, the world seemed that it was coming to an end. But they're 4-4, which, you know, I had them over at about 500 or just over 500 this year. I thought the young quarterback said something really good after the game. I thought when he mentioned that they got to move on faster next time after a loss. And we talked about at the post-game show yesterday, I thought their leaders failed them. Last week, I thought that, you know, from the outside looking in, that was a horrible loss to Washington. That was a horrible way to lose a game. Those kind of things sting. And to keep talking about it, if you're a leader on that team, to keep talking about it and not just circle the wagon and say, look, we all got to do better. We all got to move on. I thought that was a mistake. But when I said leaders, obviously their leaders failed them in the game by their coaching staff. But everybody did. Right after the game, their leaders, their leadership committee talked about it too much. And I thought the young quarterback saying, look, we got to move on. We got to move on faster. We got to get to the next game. We got to make that hurt for 12 to 24 hours, and then we got to get going again. So I thought that was a good point by him. I think they say a status quo versus the Patriots, David. I don't think they make the change, but I think that they're talking about it, right? I think that now that with the direction their offense is going in, and man, what an indictment if you got to move on from your offensive coordinator or you know, whatever you have to do with your offense this early in you know, in the hiring in the season. We're only halfway through. I don't think they want to panic like that with a young quarterback and create more chaos around him with a new play caller and just kind of what does Shane Waldron do every day in the building then?
I wonder, Olin, when you see Darnell Wright is believed to have suffered an MCL sprain based on the initial tests, and he's going to have an MRI today, how much does that damage an already damaged unit on the offensive line?
Well, we talked about it coming into the season that it was a group you worried about. Right now, with Braxton Jones out, Karan Amagaji out, Darnell Wright, hopefully I've had a few MCLs. Took me about, you know, 3 to 4 to 6 weeks to get back. Just depends on the severity of the injury, right, and what they find there on the MRI. So Darnell Wright, their best offensive lineman. He's had some up and downs this year, but still their best offensive lineman. Losing him would really hurt, Molly. It would really hurt them. They were scrambling for bodies anyway, putting Larry Borum up yesterday, you know, trying to find, you know, I think it was Jake Curran who came in to play. So what do they do there? What do they do at that position? We know that prior to start the year was their swing tackle. We know that Bates to start the year was their starting center. So, you know, they're on to Shelton now. And then, you know, Tevin Jenkins, can he stay healthy? Can we get Braxton Jones back? And it's not a good situation with a young quarterback and an offense that's struggling to find any rhythm early in the game. So what do they do? Do they go? The Vikings just picked up the only guy available and put him at left tackle, right? And they took a guy here from the Jaguars.
Cam Robinson.
It's Cam Robinson. And it's just been, you know, can you look around and find teams that aren't doing well? I know we mentioned Zach Martin yesterday for the Cowboys, since the Cowboys are struggling, but that's kind of a pipe dream, right? It's a Hall of Fame right guard still playing at a high level, and he'd give you the leadership that you're looking for. But, yeah, I mean, you got to think outside the box at some point, right, and get guys in here who can help your offense get moving in the right direction and give your quarterback, you know, make him comfortable taking that snap, standing in the pocket, and delivering the pass.
I think it's tough after a game like that because all the questions and all the topics, it sound like you want some sort of punitive result and you wonder, like, what's going to happen next. But if it help us, you've been in these buildings, you've been in these meetings, Olin. Mm-hmm. If you're Ryan Poles and you see your franchise quarterback on the field in the final 2 minutes of a game that is not winnable and his presence there behind a backup right tackle and a makeshift offensive line, how does that conversation go? And what possibly could Matt Eberflus been referring to when he said he needs the reps and the defense was still on the field too? How do you justify that?
I don't know. To be honest with you, we were all watching and thinking, run the ball and get off of this field with that offensive line you got. And he was not only was he under pressure, you know, all game, he wasn't taking the easy stuff, right? He wasn't hitting Cole Kmet in the zone on blitzes. The Cardinals gave him a lot of looks and came from all over the place with their three safety look. And it confused. It confused their protection and it confused Coleman Shelton at times. They were trying to slide the line. Bring the running back across. They were getting good matchups on their running backs, and then they ran some games late in the game on the Borum and Tevin Jenkins side. And we talked about that those two guys really haven't worked together. That's exactly what I would do. I'd run stunts. They call them stunts where, you know, somebody tries to pick somebody and then wrap under. It's hard to explain on the radio, but that's hard for linemen that haven't worked together, haven't been on the field together. And you could see that going on. You see that the game is out of control. You see the guy at offensive tackle in there that probably just showed up, doesn't know everybody's name, right? You don't know his name. We don't know his name. It doesn't make any sense, David. So, like you're saying, if you're Ryan Poles, you know, I'm sure they do it, but it's the time to get in a room, turn on the film, talk to Shane Waldron about what's going on with the offense. They need some leadership in that building from the top down. You know, even it seems like the head coach, some of his answers right now are a little strange to me. Like Molly mentioned yesterday, he's taking the blame for a salami sandwich in the back of having bad breath, and that's me. And, you know, just kind of like everything's my fault all of a sudden, right, which isn't true also. You know, like the touchdown at the end of the half. Or just think about that, you know, that the football team in that at the end of the half there, against the Cardinals, right? Keenan Allen drops the ball. If he catches that ball, we get a field goal. We're off the field. Time is run out. He drops the ball. They kick it off. They go to just run the clock out, right? And then you got T.J. Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds, and Johnson all standing there. The guy just runs right by all of them. Right? Someone's got to get off a block, get him on the ground, and get to halftime. And then all of a sudden, Coach Flews is telling us that that was his fault. It was some sort of pass blitz, I guess. I don't know what he said, but you know, they didn't execute it well. The end didn't come underneath, and it's just like if you're talking about David looking for answers. If you're Ryan Poles, you're looking for answers for all of that, right? Why is my quarterback on the field? I'm sure you got answers on the Hail Mary. Why are you taking blame all of a sudden? Like everything's my fault. You don't want a head coach that looks like he's giving interviews, standing in front of the room, who looks like he doesn't have answers and looks like he lost confidence. Because he's the one now. He's the one steering this ship. And he's got to stand in front of that room, and he's got to let us know it's all going to be all right. And this is going to be all right. Let's keep doing the things that we believe in. Let's keep doing the little things. Let me show you guys film of how we got to do things better, how I have to do things better, how we all have to do things better so we play a better football game the next time we show up at Soldier Field against the Patriots.
This segment with Olin Krutz is sponsored by Fireplace and Chimney Authority. Visit online or their Elmhurst and Lyle showrooms. You know, I thought the Bears were going to have a good opportunity in this game because they were allowing, I'm talking about the Cardinals, were allowing 52% conversion rate on third downs. And the Bears went 3 for 14. Which is, I believe, 21.4%. How could that be as bad as it was, right? I mean, how could they not convert a third down against a team that had been just letting everyone get third downs? Third down's here, third down's there, everyone gets one. Going out of business.
Yeah, I think, honestly, Molly, when I rewatched the first three quarters this morning, they thought they had a huge advantage at the wide receiver position. They thought if they spread them out, there'd be holes all over the place in their zone. And when you look at it, it really was, that's an interesting thing. Usually you just say, well, the young quarterback was under so much duress, or the receivers didn't get open, or, why didn't Cole Kmet have any targets? Right. Well, he's on the field, guys, and he's on the field and he's open, right? And he's open for some of these blitzes and some of these zones. And, you could have went down the line. There were plays when a young quarterback didn't get it out. When these guys are open just to get the ball there, there were plays when they get it out, they get a first down, they get a penalty, right? Borum is not lined up. Or Keenan Allen gets a pass interference, but they convert right after that. And that's what you're talking about, the Cardinals. They'll give you plays to convert, but where's the penalty? Or the young quarterback just sailing it out of bounds, right? You watch this film, and it really is, all of them did not play well. They did not look like they came to Arizona. They looked like they had a hangover from that Hail Mary, just to be brutally honest. And like I tell you guys, people lie, but the film doesn't, right? Yeah. And that's why you always go to film in the morning. You take a good look at it, and you say, man, what happened there? And I think this team, collectively, they had a lot of injuries, but collectively they did not play well down there in Arizona, and the Cardinals took advantage of that. And then you get blown away, and you don't convert third downs on a bad defense who's giving you a bunch of looks, but you knew that coming into the game. They put a lot on Caleb's plate yesterday, right, with the up-tempo offense, with him checking in and out, with him making calls. I thought at some point you take that away from him, you call the play, and let them execute out there because, even the commentator showed you a couple of times when Roschon Johnson slipped out of the backfield, he's there, just give him the ball. The Cardinals are playing a deep zone off the ball, and they're covering the receivers over the top, not to give up the big play.
This segment with Olin Krutz, sponsored by Busey Bank. Building business, growing wealth since 1868. So, Olin, I think you need to help us talk about this intelligently, or at least address this from your perspective, because you're a player, you're a guy who, I don't know, how long after an appendectomy were you back on the field? You were somebody that played through a lot of pain and understand the difference between pain and injury. And we don't want to talk nonsense about what Montez Sweat is going through. But Montez Sweat didn't play yesterday. He was tried out on the field. I don't think he has a sprain, strain, or pull. He's got a puncture from a cleat injury suffered against the Washington Commanders. How do we discuss whether or not he could have played or should have played, or where this goes in terms of an injury and how long he's going to be out for? How do you look at that as a former player who was a tough guy?
Well, as a former player, I take a look at Montez Sweat's history, right? And he must be sore, man, because this guy's given you everything he's got since he's gotten here, right? And I watch him playing games, and I know there's been a few questions of why is he off the field in substitutions late in games, but the guy got a lot of money. He flies around every time he's out there. He went out there to try to finish that game last week. That thing, whatever he's got, I don't like to speak on things that I don't know a guy's got, but if I just go off of his history, I think he couldn't have played yesterday. There's just no way. This guy is always on the field. He's always battling. He's always getting after the quarterback. He plays the run. As we saw yesterday, he plays the run as well as he plays the pass. So, if that thing had a chance of lingering on during the season, then it did the smart thing yesterday by resting him, and you'll have him through this run because we've all seen since he's arrived or since he's not on the field yesterday how important this guy is to this defense, right? We've all seen that. We're hoping for a little more out of Jervon Dexter Sr. yesterday, right? We want to see him more with Montez Sweat out. Billings, I don't know what's going to happen there, man. They lose him. That would be huge, although I think that back injury must have been bugging him a little bit. His play has come down a little bit. Defense didn't look good yesterday, but as far as injury concern with Montez Sweat, if he needed a day off, when you fly to Arizona, it's a long trip. If he needed a game off for that late, so he can finish this run here. They're about to go into we all know how tough their season is about to get. The Lions and the Packers are coming. The Lions playing good football. They got a bunch of tough games coming up. If I could get them back 100% for that run, then yesterday was a smart decision.
I wonder at what point would you, if you were running a team, consider changing the play caller? And I mean that more about Shane Waldron, and do you have other options, and how long does it take to come to a conclusion on that? But I also wonder if I don't think they'd get better if Eberflus let Eric Washington call a game, but he might be more of a head coach then. And again, I'm not trying to take a shot at him, and I know that if he gives that up, he's in danger of losing his gig because that's what saved him a year ago. But what are your thoughts on that possibility?
Yes, as far as the offensive play caller, I just think now you've hired the wrong guy twice, right? And it's just kind of an indictment on your process, right? And that's everybody. From the top down there at Hallis Hall. We heard Ryan Poles talk about why Luke Getsy got fired, right? Because he wasn't imagining enough. He wasn't the plays weren't creative enough. They didn't adjust enough, and that's why you brought in Shane Waldron, and you raved about him when you hired him, and now we're going to move on in week 8, and what an indictment on our process, right? Because now we're on to our third. We're on to our third offensive coordinator since Coach Eberflus got here. And, I know there's Kerry Joseph. I know Thomas Brown has called plays in Carolina. I don't know how they feel about those guys. I know Kerry Joseph has called some plays, I think, in college. Right. I think that the easiest thing they can do is let Coach Washington call plays.
Yeah.
And Coach Eberflus can go to being the head coach. But Coach Eberflus is so good at, right? He's so good at doing that. Some guys have an assistant head coach, an older head coach that comes in and helps with the head coaching part. Because I don't know, to me, when I look at this football team, if you ask me, what is elite? Like, what is the one thing that he's elite on this football team? And before the Hail Mary, before yesterday, I would have said Coach Eberflus, right? And we saw yesterday even some play calling decisions by the Cardinals offensive coordinator. You're like, what the hell is he doing? Like calling pass plays inside the 10-yard line 100 times. So it's just kind of – I don't know if it's time for that yet. I don't want to put that kind of panic around my young quarterback. Shane Waldron installed his whole system to ask guys just to come in and call plays and change it up. You would have to believe that if you're Ryan Poles, when you met with Shane Waldron, you would have to believe that he's just lost confidence in his play calling ability, and he can't get this thing back on track. Which man, if they do that, if that comes out, if that happens, what an indictment on their process to hire an offensive coordinator. Which we know, guys, go to Hallis Hall, go all the way back to 1999, wherever you want to go back to. Hallis Hall hiring an OC has been a problem for a long time.
Olin, great stuff.
Yeah, thanks, Olin. Great stuff as always.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys.
That is Olin Kreutz. Does a great job.
I know. It's just such a welcome insight, such welcome insight from a guy who's been there.
Yes.
And yet it starts to feel and sound very familiar because we have been down this road before.
Well, you know, it's
not that long ago.
I mean, one of the great things with Olin is we've talked about this, that the Bears need to score points. And we thought going into this season that they had drafted a new quarterback and a wide receiver in the top 10. And you thought they brought in touchdowns, right? And I think they thought going into that game, as he just told us, that there were going to be possibilities for the receiving corps. And you come out of it and they get no touchdowns.
No touchdowns.
None. Yeah. Not a single touchdown. So that leads to all sorts of issues and questions. I want to talk to you about the trade deadline when we come back,
okay.
David. I want to talk about what they should or should not do before Tuesday, which, of course, is tomorrow. It is Mully and Haw on the Score.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What prevented Montez from playing today?
Yeah, we worked him out. Before the game, it was just too painful, you know. So when he was turning the corner to make the rush, you know, turn the corner there. So we'll see where that is this week.
He said he took a cleat from a Washington player to his shin. Is that all it is, or is there more to it than just a laceration?
No. Yeah, I don't know if it's more to that. That's what it is. But again, there's pain when you turn the corner. You know, when you're a defensive end, your ankle has to have flexion in it, you know, and you got to make sure that you're able to have that mobility in your lower extremities to be able to play the way he plays.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Flexion, right?
Yeah.
You want flexion,
you want flexion
when you are a pass rusher. Look, we got the voice of authority on the difference between pain and injury for Mullen Krutz.
Yes.
And I'm willing to accept that we don't understand how difficult it is to get your body ready to play in an NFL game, and nobody understands it better than the guy we just spoke to. If he says he gets it, I think that's acceptable for everybody. Montez Sweat is going to play if Montez Sweat can play.
Montez Sweat has come here. Now, again, this we want to get to the trade deadline. They traded a second-round pick for him last year,
yep.
And he came in, and they got him to the $100 million contract, $99 million contract, and you did not see any drop-off in his performance from the minute that he signed his contract. You know,
it went the other way. He got better.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's that good a player.
He's a multiplier. So you want to talk about the trade deadline. Is there any deal like that out there for the Bears? I don't think there is, Mully, not this year.
Well, I want to actually recommend that they don't. I don't think they can be in the acquisition business right now.
I totally agree with that.
I hate to be the guy that says that, but they got Chase Claypool the first year under Ryan Poles. And, you know, you understood they wanted to try to get a receiver or someone. It failed miserably. But God bless him. He went right back, did it again the next year, last year, and they wound up hitting one out of the park with Montez Sweat. Now here you sit. And I got to tell you, they have their own second-round pick, and they have Carolina's second-round pick,
capital.
Which is – like a
they've
first
got capital,
pick.
But they're not also a Super Bowl team this year.
Well,
so you don't want to sacrifice that capital.
Away.
You are more seller than you are buyer.
And they were not a player away a year ago, but he made them.
But they were a
so
player away from
better.
Building, having a foundational player.
Exactly.
That's where they were a year ago.
But they probably knew they needed a quarterback. They probably knew they were going to go in a different direction. I think that a year ago They had a chance to get a pass rusher to solve a long-term problem and then get him. And when they made the deal, we were like, they better get him under contract. They can't
they
just
did,
make that
or deal. Else that wouldn't have been a good deal.
And it would have been a bad deal.
But let me ask you this.
But let me just finish this idea.
Yeah, sorry.
So I was just going to say that now, is there any position where you think they need to get better in a hurry that you would – you know, obviously it's offensive line. And I think that they need to go into next year's draft thinking that of their three draft picks, high draft picks, one in the first round would be probably be in the middle of the pack, and then the early second round, which is like a late first rounder, and that's how high it is because of Carolina being awful, and then the Bears pick, I think they got to load up on the offensive line. I think they need to get better. I would recommend they take two offensive linemen.
You answered your own question, I think, because there is nobody right now that we're aware of as being dangled in trade conversations as an answer on the offensive line. Yeah. The Vikings beat the Bears and a lot of other people to the punch by acquiring Cam Robinson, who started against the Colts, got there on a Tuesday, played on a Sunday. That's how you make a quick impact, and that's good for the Vikings because they may be closer. They are closer to, let's face it, making playoff noise in the Bears. So they're willing to do that trade. They lose Darisaw for the season.
Yeah.
It changes their complexion. But now does it really, because they have a good replacement? If you're the Bears, you are more likely to be looking at ways to unload some players that you need to unload, maybe get some draft compensation in return, stay steady in terms of your plan. Regardless of who the coach is next year, if you're Ryan Poles, you're building a roster to get to the Super Bowl, and doing that becomes easier if you have draft capital, and he still has some very valuable draft capital at his disposal.
Yeah, we asked a question earlier in the show, which is how do you rebuild the offensive line? What do you have to do to get the offensive line back on track? You know, the answer to that question is draft offensive linemen 3 years ago. Like, you needed to have young players in place that were developing and getting better so that when you got to the quarterback, when you got to the foundation of your team, you were already loaded with some young players that were getting better.
It's baffling, isn't it? It's baffling how two guys at the front, at the top of the hierarchy, or former offensive linemen have neglected the position as much as they really have. And that's not a criticism as much as it is a reality. They just haven't really prioritized offensive linemen in the draft. And if that weren't the case, hey, it's great that Roma Dunze had over 100 yards receiving yesterday.
Yeah.
But still, that number nine pick, I still think it was the right one. But people are fair to question whether or not going offensive lineman at that spot would have made more sense.
And you know, frankly, I think when you look back on the foundation of this team, I understand they drafted Kyler Gordon and they drafted Jaquan Brisker. Mm-hmm. Then they took Velus Jones, who's now playing for the Jaguars.
Mm-hmm.
That pick, that third-round pick, the first offensive player that the general manager took, probably should have been an offensive lineman.
Yes, I do believe that in that pick, it sort of symbolizes what we're talking about. The lack of a priority, the lack of urgency that was taken in terms of a plan to building an offensive line just wasn't there. It hasn't been there. So now you're in a situation where you have desperate times. They call for desperate measures. If Darnell Wright's out 3 to 4 weeks, as Olin sort of indicated, with a sprained MCL, according to Ian Rappaport, what do you do now? So do you go with a guy who is a career backup in terms of he had to do, you know, get on the Google machine to see who Jake Kurhan really was and why was he in the game? Do you move Tevin Jenkins to right tackle because Ryan Bates can come back and play left guard? Do you consider all sorts of different options on the offensive line? I don't think you're going to get better there in the trade market because I don't think there's going to be anybody available.
I agree with you. I would want to know who is available, first of all. But I think that what you have to do is move Matt Pryor out to left tackle. And no one wants to do this. That's why they didn't do it in the game.
And move Larry Borm to right tackle?
Move Larry to the right tackle. And then if Ryan Bates is ready to go, you move him in as a starting guard.
Those are reasonable solutions to a chronic problem.
But none of them are, you know, you lose your best offensive lineman. Darnell Wright is your best offensive lineman. He was a first-round draft pick. You went out and you drafted him. Arguably, their second-best offensive lineman is Tevin Jenkins. But he was a drafted player, not by this administration, but he was drafted by the Bears, and he's been battling injuries. That's the problem here. You know, they gave a contract extension to Andrew Billings about this time a year ago. Would you give anyone on the offensive line a contract extension?
No, because you're in the midst of a rebuild. And
yes.
Darnell Wright is injured, so I don't think that he's
exactly
not been in the league long enough either.
No.
So back to the trade deadline for a moment. The one thing we will see is that when we talk about the Bears' offensive line, their ability to protect the passer, the Lions are going to likely be getting better at that position, replacing Aiden Hutchinson with maybe Za'Darius Smith from the Browns. That's a rumor or a report that they are the closest to getting him. He likely is going to be the biggest name moved at the trade deadline. Would you agree with that?
There is another pass rusher out there. Who's the kid? He's making like $23 million, though. I don't think they could get him. I'm not talking about Myles Garrett or about
those guys.
Max
aren't going
to
go.
They're not moving anywhere.
Za'Darius Smith's a pretty good pass rusher. He's 32, but I guess he's a
little longer in the tooth. I haven't looked at his contract. How bad is his deal?
I think he's got one or two more years. I have to check that out.
I think he's getting paid some money.
When CBS Sports has a report of or five names that are going to be likely to move at the deadline, and four of them or three of them are wide receivers, it does make you wonder. Have to ask the question, because the Bears did lose on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I do wonder what people might think of shopping Keenan Allen. He's got 10 games, or he's got 9 games left on his contract.
Yeah.
He's well paid, $23 million a year. And as we heard during the broadcast, underutilized in this offense.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be against it, and I really wouldn't, because I think that they're not going to bring him back, or they're not going to pay him the kind of money that would get him back. So I think the problem you have, you know, the number one thing you're trying to do is quarterback development. And I don't know that moving him is a great idea, but if I were to move him, David, I would be willing to eat at least half, if not 3/4 of what's left on his salary.
Especially
this year,
if it helps you get a draft pick more commensurate with what he's worth and what you gave up.
That's what I'm saying.
So if you gave up a 4th rounder to Keenan Allen, you'd like to get that in return. Don't know if that's realistic, but a 4th or a 5th, if you need to eat the money, yes. I don't think Khalil Herbert's going to bring back much in return.
I don't think he's going to be traded. I don't know that he has a market out there. He's a running back. There's not a huge...
People will want to pick him up for free.
He's you know, and they feel like when they don't trade for him, they'll be able to
pick him up
for free. And I think Nate Davis, it's a pipe dream to think he has any value when you look at the state of the Bears' offensive line and the fact that he's one of two guys that
he
was active
play
for the first time in 3 weeks.
He didn't play.
Only him and the backup quarterback didn't play.
How
the backup
is that?
Quarterback should have played.
Why is he even active if he's not going to play? Why is he on the roster?
It was
so
crazy.
You get through the trade deadline, maybe you cut him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you do.
If you're worried about vibes, if you're worried about chemistry, if you're worried about cohesion in a locker room that is unraveling, you might just have to cut Nate Davis if you can't trade him.
I mean, he wasn't playing well enough in practice, whatever, to be on your roster for the last two games. You had him up and available because you were desperate. And I don't know how he practices or if he cares, or I don't know. You know, every once in a while you run across players that just don't seem to want to play. And I think, unfortunately, they had a defensive tackle that fell into that category and left here. And I think
back in the league.
And I think we now are looking at an offensive guard that just doesn't seem to be. They seem to have tried everything, even calling him out publicly, and nothing seems to work.
Nothing seems to work, and some passion is a hard thing to describe. But you know when a player doesn't have it, and Nate Davis doesn't seem to have it, at least in Chicago.
Yeah. Okay, let's get back to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Ken is listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Ken.
Oh, good morning, gentlemen. Hey, I know that the Bears have a history of not firing coaches in season, but when the Bears IT department finds horribly incriminating email traffic between Flus and Waldron, I don't think Ryan Poles is going to have much of a choice except to let them go.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. Let's move on.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you're talking about, Ken.
I think he's creating a...
I think, yeah, there's nothing that's worth pursuing there. 312-644-6767. We come back. We'll get to all of your calls.
Mully and Hall on the Score.
I think early on in the week, I think we could have done better overall of bouncing back after that. I know it's a tough loss. It's tough regardless of who you are in the facility. If you're out there making plays or if you're making decisions up top. Being better at that, understanding that we have many more games left after that. Been able to be one, be a family, and move on from that, and have the right leaders, and which we do. We have the right guys to do, things like that, which is bounce back from something like that, and we got to do it this week.
Does it be better, you just mean move on quicker?
Yeah, we gotta be better and move on quicker. We gotta have that 24-hour period, and from there move on.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That's the quarterback making sense there. That is Caleb Williams. I told you I love that kid in the podium. He's just great.
I do too. It. Is that the quarterback questioning what happened last week?
Come on. Let's get to the phone line. Shad has a point to make about the quarterback. Shad's on the south side. Hey, Shad.
Hey, man. What's going on, fellas? I want to say that every point you guys have made this morning has made my coffee that much more enjoyable. You know what? I thought we were talking X and O's this morning, but we ended up having a conversation about a coach that doesn't understand the importance of a grown adult having flexion in his lower extremity. You know what, Mully? You've been around a lot of coaches, man, but this guy's responsible for this kid, and right now he's on the pace of getting sacked for 50 times. That's on the list with Derek Carr, Bryce Young, Tim Couch, Blake Bortles, Jake Plummer, Brock Hayward. These are some guys that never reached their potential because that's after right. their first year, they never, ever were the same. So it's pivotal that this kid, after he just articulated himself, become the adult in that building and take control of everything offensively and in terms of identity of this team. And it's a pivotal point right now that they allowed him to do it.
Thanks, Sean.
It's a good point. And I am worried about the number of hits he's taking.
I do, too. I think that's why he should have been off the
16
field.
16 different guys pressured him in that game.
46% of the time, the pressure.
You know why? Because they left him in after the game was over.
That helped helped pad their numbers. Let me ask you this. So are you dismissing the idea that Caleb Williams was second-guessing the way last week's loss was handled by his coaching staff?
No, but I don't think that I think that he is subtle enough that when he says something like, if you want to read between the lines with him, he said at the end of the week, I did help the coach get off the field. I want him off the field because I was afraid they were going to throw a flag and they'd get an extra 5 yards.
Right.
Now, if you want to say, here's a subtle criticism, Flusie just gave him 13 yards and you didn't want to add 5 more to it. I mean, it's subtle. I don't think he meant it, but that's what I could read into that if I so chose.
Well, he's not. He's too smooth to be anything more than subtle. But I do think that if you listen to that, we don't need to listen to it again, but he was essentially saying that they did not handle the loss.
And you know what? They didn't
handle the loss. That starts at the top.
But they didn't handle the loss.
He's right.
And he also said at the end of the game, they asked him, why were you in the game? And he said, well, the coach
He does what he does. He's a player.
Exactly. He's a player, and he's told to stay in the game. Like,
but it is significant to me that the leader of the Bears, the quarterback of the Bears, is raising doubts about the way they responded to a defeat.
We've raised the same doubts.
But we're not the quarterback.
But we know they didn't respond well to the defeat.
I know.
I don't think that's controversial.
I'm not saying it's controversial.
But I think it's fact.
It's definitely a fact, but it's also, if you want to, it's news.
Well, okay.
It's news.
You know what's going to happen next week? They're going to tell the center, snap the ball to someone else.
I'm not saying there's any repercussion. I'm not even saying it's that controversial.
Yeah.
But it's telling. And it's reflective of a team that it questions its leadership at the top.
This is him as a rookie. Okay? Presumably this will be his best behavior.
We know
in his career.
Last week, speaking of the controversy, his dad was hashtag real coach, hashtag accountability.
That's right.
We didn't connect the father to the son. But what we heard yesterday from Caleb Williams just coming into this segment was a subtle questioning of the head coach.
And you know what? I'm all for it.
Okay, me too.
I don't think there was anything wrong with what he said. But he's right.
He's right.
So, I mean, that's the problem when the floodgates start to open. You know, when you're in charge of protecting the dam and all of a sudden there's a hole. Oh, let me get shove a finger in there. Wait, there's water coming over here. You know, the guy doesn't have enough digits to plug all the holes.
They're taking on water, as Jerry Angelo used to say.
That's well put, my friend. All right, we're gonna get to our guy DJ Moore. We'll bring DJ in. We'll talk to him. We'll find out if there's any subtle second guessing going on, or is there any second guessing at all, or are you not allowed to answer any questions? We'll talk to DJ Moore next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.